and be glad in it. Mark asked if I was ready. I was just enjoying his music. He said, I already played it four times, he said. It's great to see everyone here this morning. It's annual conference Sunday, so some of those who are normally here are enjoying sunny Florida. At least I think it's sunny. I don't know, maybe it's raining. But we want to remember the annual conference these next couple days and the business meetings that they're going to be having. And all those who are in attendance, Pastor Matt and Denise are in attendance there. And John and Diane High are our delegates, so keep them in your prayers. Are there any announcements that anyone would have? None were brought to my attention. I guess, are there still tickets available for the pork sandwiches on Saturday? Okay, very good. There are still some tickets available for the pulled pork dinner, the Nigeria fundraiser, and you can get those after the service. Who has those? Jeremy, have some of those? You have some? Okay, very good. Any other announcements? Let's rise then for our call to worship. As it's projected, there we go. And Jesus said, I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. If we keep his commands, we'll remain intimately at home in his love. That's what I've done, kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in his love. He's told us these things for a purpose, that his joy might be our joy, and our joy wholly mature. This is my command, love one another the way I loved you. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. You are my friends when you do the things I command you. He is no longer calling us servants, because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, Jesus has named us friends because he's let us in on everything he's heard from the Father. You didn't choose me. Remember, I chose you and put you in the world to bear fruit, fruit that won't spoil. As fruit bearers, whatever you ask the Father in relation to me, he gives you. Remember the root command, love one another. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for your never-ending love which you lavish on all your children. There were many times this week in which we felt ourselves in the middle of your love. We thank you for that blessing. God, we confess that there were times this week when we allowed fear to drive us away from your love. God, please forgive us. Loving God, may we continue to open ourselves up to your Spirit and allow you to continue the work of perfecting your love within us so that we become the people you created us to be. By your grace, help us to live in your love and continue to extend that love to the world. Amen.
And singing hymn number 99. Every stain. Hallelujah.
joy thou hast given to thy saints in communion, these foretastes of heaven. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Has made me glad.
I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he
As we enter this time of the morning prayer, I'd like to entertain any joys or concerns that you might have. And Jeremy has a microphone, and just when he comes around, just raise your hand.
I have two prayer concerns this morning. First of all, I want to lift up the family of Amber. She is a friend of a friend who recently passed away from complications due to a car crash. I would also like to lift up Stephen. One of the people that I work with has just found out that he is diagnosed with cancer, and he is forced to make some really difficult decisions.
I was just looking to see if the Lingles or Kaufmans are here. I don't believe they are. It was mentioned at 8:15, if you didn't see Carl rolled his car this week. Fortunately, they were all fine and walked away. So prayers for that. And apparently, there's also been a death in the family. I don't recall if it was Carl Sr.'s mother, I believe, mother or grandmother, I'm not sure. So we're gonna keep that family in our prayers.
Any others? Just raise your hand. I'd also like you to look at the list of prayer concerns as it's listed in your bulletin. And throughout this week, keep those individuals also in your prayers. Let us bow our heads and turn to the Lord. Father, we come before you as a loving family, a loving church family. We just want to love you and praise you and honor you and bring you all the glory, Lord. We just thank you for this church family, for the gathering of these individuals, for the love that you give to us, And we just pray that you might be our guidance as we go through our everyday lives, as we go out into this world, as we go to work, and as we just rejoice with one another and fellowship with one another and reach out into a hurting world, Lord. Lord, we just pray that you be with us and be with those who are on our prayer concern list this morning. Be with those who need your healing touch, whether it be physical or mental. Be with the family of Amber on her death, Lord. Give them the touch that they need. And be with Stephen as he deals with the struggles of cancer like so many. And we just pray that you be with him in decisions that need to be made. And we just thank you that in Carl's accident, that there were no injuries and that everyone's okay. And that sometimes things happen for a reason and that we may not know for now, but that it may show up in the future, Lord. And we just thank you that there were no serious injuries there. And we just thank you and praise you that we can be here this morning and we can remember those who are meeting in Tampa as the annual conference gets together this week. And we just pray that your guidance and your spirit might be upon them, that they might be touched by you in the business sessions, in the worship sessions, insight sessions, and just as they fellowship with one another, that it might be a great conference, a conference that might be rejoicing in you and bring others in the community to know more about you and more about the Church of the Brethren. And we just thank you and praise you. And we just ask, Lord, that you forgive us this morning of those sins that we've committed this past week. And we know that we are full of faults, Lord, and we just strive to be the person that you would want us to be. And we just pray that in our day-to-day living that we might express our love for you to others, and others might know that you truly are the Lord that we serve. For it's in your precious name that we pray. Amen. for offering this morning, I thought of a story I'd like to share with you. There was a family that left church one Sunday after the service, and they were driving home, and all of a sudden, Dad, he started complaining that the sermon was too long and didn't get to the point. And Mom says, yeah, the choir was just awful this morning. They sang off key, and as she said, they just couldn't get their songs right. And then the teenage daughter said, yeah, she said, those teenage boys sitting behind me wouldn't let me alone. They were playing with my hair the whole service. And the little boy says, well, I don't know. I thought it was pretty good for a quarter. So I want you to think about our offering as not an admission to a show, but as a submission of what we've been given back to God as in our offering. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these gifts that we're about to give to you, and we ask that you take these gifts and that they might do the work of the church and be blessed by you and may multiply and help those who truly are in need. And we just thank you for the abundance that you give us and that we have the ability to share. In your name we pray, amen. And before we take that offering, I want to take a moment to introduce Sarah to you. Sarah has been attending here since about November of last year, and along with her husband, Mike. And she says, of course, when Mike is here. You don't see Mike a lot because he's an engineer, an actual train engineer, and he is on the train a lot on Sundays. But they have one daughter, Olivia, right? And Sarah's going to be bringing our message this morning. And I got to know Sarah a little bit when Mary and I were youth advisors, and I spent a Saturday morning picking spinach with her. We went down on a district work event, and we spent the whole morning picking spinach, and she was just a young youth advisor at that time. And that's when I first got to meet Sarah. So I think you're going to enjoy her message this morning, and look forward to that. I'm going to ask her to come up and introduce this video to you.
The service project for Vacation Bible School this year will support the hospitality of the Ronald McDonald House Charities of Central Pennsylvania in Hershey. Part of the mission of the Ronald McDonald House is to provide a home away from home for families of seriously ill children who are being treated at the Penn State Hershey Children's Hospital. As we spend time in the lab at Bible School, we will be praying for those children, the parents and the families of the children, the doctors, nurses, and staff at the hospital, the researchers who are working on treatments and cures for the children, and the work of the Ronald McDonald House Charities. The following video tells a story of one family who benefited from the hospitality of the house in Hershey.
Lydia and I first met my first year of college. We saw her in the computer lab and walked up to her and started talking to her.
Fred first caught my eye because he was pretty persistent.
My initial impression of Lydia was I thought she was pretty attractive.
I wasn't really looking for a boyfriend, and he kind of kept coming, and we just became friends.
I remember laying on my bed in my dorm room thinking, you know, I'm really not going to meet anyone like her again.
When we first got married, we decided to wait a few years before having kids and enjoyed some time together, just the two of us, and after a while we thought, okay, now it's time to try and have a family. And it took us a while to have our first child, and we weren't sure for a while whether or not it was going to happen for us.
Pretty much made up in my mind that was the way life was going to be. We weren't going to have any children of our own, and I had come to accept that and believe that, you know, that was okay. And then it was shortly after that I found out that Lydia was pregnant. And once we had Isaac, you know, it was great.
It was wonderful when we finally were able to have our child and have what we've been longing for so long. So we always knew we wanted to have, you know, several kids, more than just a couple. We always said four, but I think we wouldn't have gotten to four without God kind of intervening.
When we first found out that we were having triplets, I was actually at the doctor's appointment.
I thought something was wrong at first. The doctor was very quiet. She wasn't saying much. And all of a sudden, she turned the monitor to me and she said, "There are three." And I think my heart stopped, literally stopped for a moment.
It really blew me away when I found out that we were having three. There was a time I didn't think we were going to have any children.
It was all over the place. Every emotion you could think of kind of came out. We were barely halfway through the pregnancy. We showed up at Hershey Medical Center at 1 a.m, and I remember the doctor saying, "They're coming today." And I just thought, no way, no, it's not happening. What are we doing? What's gonna happen?
I called my family. Here it was 3 a.m. I called my parents, I called her parents to let them know, just to pray for Lydia and pray for the boys that they were coming.
When they were born so early, you know it's gonna be bad.
When the doctors told us how much they weighed, it was pretty surprising. You know, they were just over 1 pound, each of them, and it was, I just didn't know how it was all gonna work out.
What are we doing? What's gonna happen? And all the questions flood your mind, and you cry and you pray and you cry and you pray, and there's nothing else you can do.
It was a very surreal moment in our life, kind of helpless, actually.
I knew about the Ronald McDonald House, and I made a phone call to see if we could get in, and they said to show up that night, that my husband could go and see if they had a room, and I remember hearing from him.
One of the staff members brought me around the house and gave me a tour. I was amazed at what I saw. I couldn't believe it. I was expecting a rundown hotel or something. I really didn't expect to see, you know, there's a family style kitchen there, and you know, all the furniture there just for people to talk and relax, and then all the, you know, the rooms are fantastic. I was blown away when I first got to the Ronald McDonald House.
Mommy, what are you telling them about?
It was like leaving a piece of my heart at the hospital. But thankfully, I only had to go just across the street. That was as far as I had to make it that first day. And walking into the...
McDonald House. Dumb!
Walking into those doors for the first time was like coming home. I was shocked by the way it looked, the way it felt, the people there. I was just so grateful and overcome with gratitude. I remember sitting there the first night at dinner, thinking about the whole day, and it was just, I think, probably the fifth day of life for the boys. And sitting down and eating supper with my husband and just looking at my plate of dinner and being so overcome with surprise and gratitude that total strangers came in to do this for us, to provide for us when we have so much on our minds emotionally and physically. It was just complete shock that these strangers would be so kind and giving. And I remember eating my supper and just crying into my plate, just so overcome with gratitude, and just what a blessing that place was.
The children's moment. Come on up. Here they come. Awesome. How many of you like to choose lollipops?
Me.
Do you like to choose lollipops? Yeah. Now, how do you choose your lollipop? Do you pick it your favorite color, your favorite?
I pick my favorite color.
Your favorite color? Red? Okay. What about some of these lollipops? If you would choose a blueberry one, maybe you like the color blue, or bubblegum sounds like
fun.
You like it? What about this mystery one?
I like it.
You like the mystery ones, even though you don't know what flavor they are? How many of you would choose a mystery one? You would choose a mystery one?
Apple.
Apple? I don't know. You just don't know. Well, I think sometimes, here's another mystery one, strawberry, root beer barrel, cherry. I think sometimes, though, we choose our friends. Maybe the same way we choose our lollipops. We maybe pick somebody to play with us that's our favorite friend or our best friend. Sometimes, though, we don't choose somebody to play with us if we aren't sure about them, if we don't know them. Kind of like we may not choose the mystery lollipop because we don't know what flavor it is. And sometimes when you choose lollipops, there's some left over. Everybody chooses their favorite. Like you're maybe choosing people to play with you or to play on a team, and there's some people left over. And it's not very fun to be the last one picked or the one left over. And we need to remember that God loves us and the other people when they're chosen last. It may not seem like people like them because they're picked last, but we need to know that God loves us even when we're chosen last. We need to remember that God loves everybody. And we need to love everybody too, even if we don't know anything about them. We need to make sure that we choose them to get to know them, and we need to play with them. Can we remember that? Can we remember to choose people and love people, even if we don't know anything about them? Awesome. Let's say a little prayer, okay? Dear Lord, thank you so much for making all of us different. And sometimes we're scared to get to know people that are different from us. But help us to remember that you love them, and you love us, and we need to love them too. Thank you so much for loving us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can come back. Thank you, guys.
Please stand if you are able, and we're going to read our scripture together this morning. John 15:9-17. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friend if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command, love each other. And Romans 12:9-13. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. You may be seated. Thank you to all who have been praying for me as I prepared to share this morning. I have greatly appreciated the love and support that you have shown. This morning, we are going to expand the John text and tag on the Romans text as we understand the love that we are to have. Let's take a look at John 15 again, beginning with verse 9. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. What an invitation. An invitation to be loved by Christ as the Father loves Christ. Sign me up. But there's a commitment on our part. Verse 10 says, when you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I obeyed my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Every day, Olivia asks, where are we going tomorrow, Mama? My response is usually school and work, which according to her, that will not be a good idea. On Friday, she asked me, where are we going tomorrow, Mama? I told her somewhere fun and that she would like it. Are we going to Knoebels? No, that's next week. We have problems understanding the current day in relation to tomorrow and next. We ended up going to Lake Tobias yesterday and she loved it. We don't have huge meltdowns at bedtime, but we do have some protesting. I usually go through the list. If you want to do X, Y, Z tomorrow, you have to do A, B, C this evening. On Saturday nights, we go through the whole list. If you want to go to church tomorrow, which really isn't an if, to see your friends, you have to get a bath and sleep tonight. We will go after you sleep. While these are our commands, it is ultimately so that she will understand for herself that these are important things for her to be doing. These basic life skills would be learned and embodied as she grows older. So if we want to remain in God's love, what are his commandments that we should embody and have become part of our everyday life? In Matthew 22:37, Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. In John 13:34, Jesus gives the disciples a new commandment, which is repeated in our text today. So now I am giving you a new commandment, love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. This is verse 12. In John 15, but I want us to back up to John 15:11. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. The key here for me is that just as I have loved you, or in the same way I have loved you, our joy will overflow as we understand God's love for us. For our bedtime devotion with Olivia, we've used a variety of different books. One of my favorites is the Jesus storybook. It is very much a storybook, but tells the story of Jesus from the very beginning to the very end in a special way, connecting several of the stories in the Old Testament with the plan for Christ in the New Testament. I would like to share a bit of that book. My favorite line in the whole book is, "You see, no matter what, in spite of everything, God would love his children with a never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love." I want you to listen to that again. God loves his children. He loves us with a never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. That is something to be joyful about. We are to be obedient to Christ's commands in response to the joy we have in Christ. We need to find joy in following Christ's commandments because we love Christ in return. There are many other commandments of Christ throughout the Gospels. They don't necessarily have the direction of, "This is my commandment," but they are things that Jesus says for us to do. Jesus calls us to repent. Matthew 4:17 says, "From then on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of God, heaven is near.'" This commandment was made at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry and continued on through. And Matthew 5:44-45, Jesus calls us to love and pray for our enemies. "But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you." In John 14, the chapter just prior to our focus today, Jesus tells us to just believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. As somewhat of a side note, this is also what Jesus wants for us, for others to believe in Jesus because of what they have seen us do. The message of Christ's love and sacrifice is for everyone. Listen to Matthew 28:18-20. Jesus came and told the disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Part of Christ's command is to teach new believers to obey his commands. And we should envelop all these things with prayer. Hear from Luke 21:36, the Message translation. "Pray constantly that you will have the strength and wits to make it through everything that's coming and end up on your feet before the Son of Man." Let's go back to our John 15 text and pick up with verse 13. "There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command." Let's stop a moment and talk about the word friend. I looked up the word friend on dictionary.reference.com, and I was somewhat surprised by the definition. According to the site, a friend is, 1, a person attached to another by feelings of affection or personal regard. 2, a person who gives assistance, patron, supporter. 3, a person who is on good terms with another, a person who is not hostile. 4, a member of the same nation, party, etc. 5, a member of the Religious Society of Friends, a Quaker. And 6, a person associated with another as a contact on a social networking website. And the little statement afterwards, the little explanation said something like, "I don't know you, but we're friends on Facebook." This one caught my attention. I will be the first to admit that I have a lot of acquaintances on Facebook, as well as a lot of friends. There is something extremely special about being able to call someone your friend, but not necessarily the Facebook type of friend, especially when they are willing to lay down their life for us. We will probably not have reason to lay down our life for a friend, but there will be many other sacrifices that we will be called to make for someone who is important to us. Verse 15, "I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me." Chapters 13 through 17 in John describe the conversation Jesus had with his disciples a few hours before his death. They didn't completely understand what was going on and had many questions, but Jesus was confiding in his friends the events that were going to take place. He was sharing intimately with them. What an honor to be considered a friend of Christ. And now verse 16, "You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for, using my name. Jesus chose the disciples and has chosen us through his sacrifice on the cross to take on our sins. This idea of bearing fruit is somewhat abstract, but should be understood as the response and expression of Christ's love in our lives. When we remain connected to the true vine, Jesus Christ, we will grow in relation with him and other believers. According to Paul, fruit will be present in our lives with the help of the Holy Spirit as we learn more about Christ and imitate him in our own lives. We will display love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And verse 17, simply stated, Jesus says, "This is my command, love each other." To abide or remain in Christ's love, we must obey his commandments. Let's look now at Romans 12, 9. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Despite what we may recognize or perceive as wrong in someone else, we must recognize that God created them as part of his good creation. Verse 10 reads, "Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other." I really appreciate the footnotes in my Bible as I seek to better understand the scriptures. Some of the notes for verses 9 through 10 say, "Genuine love requires concentration and effort. It means helping others to become better people. It demands our time, our money, and personal involvement." I participated in many work camps, both as a youth and as an adult. I have noticed while short-term mission trips are great, you don't often get the chance to build strong relationships with those you are serving. You may be on a project site for one day or five. There's a lot of potential for those days, and you really have to make them count. As a youth, my dad would send me off with the direction to go mad. I was to make a difference in the world for Christ as I served alongside my peers and served strangers. He also told me that despite the list of things that needed to be built, cleaned, or painted, some of the most important work we should be doing was taking time to listen and engage the homeowner or client in conversation. This was not and is not something that comes easy to me, but I really recognize how important it is. The results of conversation aren't as tangible as some of the other projects, but I would argue that the conversations in some circumstances are just as or more important than the other work projects. It will show them that we love and value them as a person. We can show the love of Christ through the projects we accomplish, but we can also share the love of Christ as we converse with them. And although it may be for a short period of time, we do not know how far this introduction to Christ may go. David Smith, in an August 2006 message, stated, "Fear, I believe, is what holds us back from love. And it is our lack of love that prevents us from truly being able to transform this world for Christ." Do you think this is true? Do we have fear that keeps us from loving? What if it takes more time than I think I have? What if it takes more money than I think I have or am willing to give? What if I need to get involved? How many times do we just walk by or walk way out around to avoid getting involved in a situation? We know that if we say or do that one thing, it will turn into so much more. That is scary sometimes, trusting that as we fulfill Christ's command to love, he will see us through those difficult situations. We should not see it as a chore, but we are to take delight in honoring each other as we are able to love one another. I started a new job in March of this year as the Meals on Wheels Administrative Secretary for Schuylkill County through Diakon Lutheran Social Ministries. The job description fit my skill set, but I really didn't know what I would be doing. It has proven to be a great fit, and God has connected dots, revealing things that only He could. On Friday afternoon, I was asked by my supervisor to accompany her in training a team of youth to deliver Meals on Wheels with her. She had talked about this Romans group in staff meetings, and I heard plans about working with this Romans group being made in the office. And I am so excited to be a part of this. I thought about this opportunity as I was preparing for this message, trying to learn more about this Romans group. I went to Facebook and found a lot of information. The event is the Romans 12 Youth Service Camp, and their purpose statement is, be a living sacrifice. If your gift is to serve, serve well. Never be lazy in your work, but serve the Lord enthusiastically. From our text this morning, Romans 12, 11. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. How enthusiastic are we when we are called to do something difficult? As challenging as a prospect may be, we must, from Romans 12, 12, rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. What is the saying? If God brought us to it, He will see you through it. Paul reminded us that we are to keep on praying. We need to rejoice in the fact that we have Jesus Christ to place our hope in. And finally, Romans 12, 13. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Whether it is a cup of cold water, a listening ear, or a place to stay, we need to be ready and willing to help others out. We have been blessed and must pass along these blessings in Jesus' name. We are loved by Christ as much as God loves His Son. Not out of obligation, but in response to this love, we need to obey Christ's commandments. Jesus loves us enough that He was willing to lay down His life for us, our friends, who He has chosen. And we are to love each other. Amen.
Would you stand and sing Days of Elijah with us?
I leave you with some words from Ferdinand Funk. The secret to Christ's claim is that he is the true vine, lies in his connectedness with God. We too are part of this wonderful vine as we remain and abide in Christ. In Jesus, God has chosen us too for his divine purpose, namely for joy, for expressing acts of love, and to be his advertisements. May we, as friends and partners, rooted in Christ, bear much fruit as we obey the command to love. Let us abide in Christ and bring forth richest blessings of fruit.